Welcome to the Richview Church Podcast. We want to journey with you in your next steps with Jesus. Ready? Let's go.
Well, good morning, everyone, and good to see you here this morning in person. Many of you online, thanks for joining this day in our service. In many ways, I have not looked forward to this Sunday. These past almost 3 years, it's been interesting having conversations with people. Well, you've been here a year and a half, couple years. I think something COVID-wise has changed our sense of time. End of December would have been 3 years. And it's how do secrets in extending a one-year contract longer and longer. Lessons here at Richview. But it's been an immense joy in my life and Linda's life. I will say again, it has been such a privilege to serve with the staff. All the staff are such committed, faithful, gifted people, but particularly Pastor Tyler, as we have worked so closely together, so many conversations, lots of laughs together. It has been a privilege. He is, in my estimation, an especially gifted young man. And I will definitely be looking forward to hearing how things continue to unfold in the coming days here at Richview. Of course, working with the elders and other various leaders has been such a privilege. And at a personal level, it's been such a great joy be a part of this congregation with my son Daniel and his wife Cheryl and their family, to witness them and grow in leadership and participate with them here over these past 3 years has been just great. And you can be sure that I will be dropping in from time to time, and you better be doing a good job. I personally have accepted a new assignment that begins in January in the small rural community called Listowel, which is about an hour north of London and a couple hours from where we live. So some of you thought I was going to commute less. Well, I'm commuting a little bit more, but that's how God directs. They are in transition with their pastor retiring, and so I will be giving leadership there for a time. Well, I've chosen to speak today from a text that means a great deal to me personally, and I hope it will be an encouragement to you. It's only 3 verses long, but it is jam-packed with guidance for living out one's faith. Let me read these entire verses first, and then we'll jump in. Hebrews 12:1-3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Let me pray. Father God, as we delve into these inspired words, help us again to hear, apply your word. Guide us by your Spirit. May the words and meditations of my own heart be acceptable in your sight, O God. for I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. The first time I gave a message on this text was when I was on staff at a Bible college in Calgary back in the 80s. And as we would come to the close of the school year, we were soon to go our separate ways because it was just a one-year college context. This text resonated powerfully regarding my passionate concern that these young students go on in their faith journeys faithfully. Likewise, that is my hope and desire for you today, for Richview. Over the years, I've come back to this text many, many times, because in these three verses, the author of Hebrews packs in a great deal for us to consider, to reflect on, apply. The text begins, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses." The author is, of course, bringing to mind throughout this passage the familiar image to ancient readers that we too had the opportunity to witness this past summer via TV and our devices, the Olympic Games, the stadium, races, competitions, where the athletes would give it their all with the crowds cheering them on. And of course, in particular in mind is the race, which is used as an analogy, beautiful analogy, appropriate analogy of the Christian life. And of course, we should have in mind the marathon race, not the 100-meter sprint. It's not about speed so much as going the distance. The marathon race, of course, has that temptation to give up, to throw in the towel, to say, that's enough. And that is what this passage is concerned about. And so the writer first encourages his readers to think about those cheering crowds. Now, of course, this past summer, due to COVID, most fans had to cheer from afar. And interestingly, as the author thinks of the cheering witnesses, they're not physically present either. Who are these witnesses? Who is this crowd? Well, of course, the immediate context is chapter 11, where the writer has given us a Reader's Digest version of the who's who in the hall of biblical faith, beginning with Abel, Cain's brother, then highlighting people like Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, many others. The author highlights the examples of people who have lived out their faith in very difficult, risky circumstances. And sometimes things have gone well. God has shown up in tremendous, miraculous ways. And sometimes people have had to simply trust that faithfulness now would be rewarded in God's eternal plan. While these Old Testament people are the witnesses in the immediate context, I think that by extension, we might envision others in that crowd cheering all of us on. That is, those who have followed Christ faithfully and gone before. So we might think of the Apostle Paul, Peter, John, the other disciples, apostles. We might think of Augustine, whose writings in the 4th century still influence the church today. John Calvin, Martin Luther, whose leadership led the Protestant Revolution. William Carey, the father of modern missions. We might think of the writer C.S. Lewis or Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who stood against the Nazis, who was martyred for his faith. Might think of Billy Graham, proclaimed the gospel to more people than anyone else before him, held on to his faith firmly to the end. More personally, I think of my own parents who were followers of Jesus. My wife's father, whose faith remained a strong, shining example until his death. here at Ridgeview. I think of Bonnie Maggin, who died last December, was in the office every day in my first year here at Ridgeview as a volunteer secretary, bombing around on her electric wheelchair. Miss her. Some of you might think of Pastor Freeland, Pastor Joe Boychuk. There are a countless number in this great cloud of witnesses. And you see, we are to imagine the sounds of their voices cheering us on. Right now, you and I are being cheered on by an ever-increasing cloud of witnesses. Now, I want to point out that there's kind of a double meaning possible to this word witness. While in the analogy, a witness refers to the one watching the athlete run, the word translated witness is the word that is, of course, frequently used to refer to the one who's a witness for Christ, a faithful follower of Christ, from which we actually get the English word martyr, witness. These faithful witnesses for Christ surround us like witnesses of our own race. The point is, we are to imagine ourselves being cheered on by those who have lived the faith before us, often at great cost and often in the midst of great difficulty. If you think that no one understands the challenges that you're facing or has had to endure the kinds of hardships that you're facing, think again. Think again. Press on. Press on. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles. It is said that ancient athletes would even run naked in these Olympic events. The point is that effective runners travel light. And so followers of Christ need to be alert to things that bog us and weigh us down. The New Living Translation says, strip off every weight that slows you down. Brings to my mind my first mission trip many years ago. And I had the great privilege of going to Zimbabwe, Africa, with a team of students. We were a musical team that performed in various villages and towns, but by the nature of it, we had to travel continually from place to place. We unfortunately learned that we were trying to carry too much with us. And without the assistance of those gracious Africans who carried our heavy backpacks for us, we would never have made it to some of the villages. North Americans struggle to travel light, don't we? More seems to always be better. And the happier we think we will be, accumulate. The reality is some of us need to simplify, declutter. Let me encourage you to take the time to ask the hard question, is there stuff in your life that's hindering you from following Christ? Maybe it's things that keep you so busy that are not really, in the end, all that valuable. Too much time surfing the internet, Facebook, Twitter, TV, so on. It's important to put boundaries on those things. Of course, sometimes we're weighed down with stuff from our past, unresolved issues that we're kind of dragging along, carrying with us. Unforgiveness turns to bitterness. Are you running freely? Text says, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. I believe the writer is referring here to patterns of sin that get its grip on us. What are referred to as the seven deadly sins are pride, envy, anger, greed, sloth, gluttony, and lust. These continue to trip us up. The freest person is the one most liberated from sin because they are in the greatest harmony with God and His Holy Spirit. Which one of those do you struggle with the most? Or which one has got you snagged and is causing havoc in your journey? Are you able to be honest about it? Over this past year, a number of you took the course Life's Healing Choices. Right now, there's a group led by Jonathan and Kathy that are preparing to lead a ministry here at Ridgeview called Celebrate Recovery. This is to help people discover and find greater freedom in Christ so that you can run the race. I hope to hear in the coming months the impact that this will have on Ridgeview as a church and on this community. Maybe some of you need to get engaged with it and at least pray for that ministry. You see, the enemy whispers in all our ears that giving in to temptation is the way of life. And the truth is, it squeezes the life out of us. Sin, like bait on a fishing line, tastes good at first, but gets its hook in us and doesn't easily let us go. One of the great purposes of being the church, Christian community, is helping one another grow in maturity, Christ-likeness, greater freedom. We're all on the journey. Yes, some are further along, but no one has arrived. We all need the encouragement to press on. Don't try to do it alone. The third phrase of that first verse says, "And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." We all feel at times like giving up, that the Christian life is too demanding, too costly. But so often those trials are simply developing our faith. No Olympic athlete gets to the podium without perseverance. And no Christian will hear that "well done, good and faithful servant" without perseverance. See, Scripture doesn't teach the journey is easy. It says it's worth it. It's worth persevering. It's worth getting up after you fall. It's worth the struggle, the sacrifice. Well, verse 2 helps us in developing that kind of perseverance. Verse 2 begins, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, perfecter of our faith." You see, the Christian journey always comes back to this core reality, a relationship with Jesus Christ. Two descriptive words in this text begin the emphasis on Jesus. The first is here translated pioneer, sometimes translated author, founder, initiator, even leader or source. Perfector is translated sometimes as finisher or completer. Christianity and the Christian life is all about Jesus from beginning to end. I believe we need to be careful of thinking also that we have Jesus figured out. There's always more to learn about Him, what He's like, and how to become like Him. When we read the Gospels, we always find Him surprising people. He surprised the Pharisees. He surprised the crowds. He was always surprising the disciples that were closest with Him. He was sometimes incredibly tender, sometimes incredibly tough. He always spoke the truth, but He related to each person uniquely. Jesus knows you. He knows you. By his Spirit, he can speak into your life and guide you. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He is our Savior and Lord. Not Pastor Tyler. Not the elders. Certainly not the government. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Your mind, heart, and soul. Fix them. Fix them on Jesus. Make sure that he is at the center of your life. The central strategy of the Christian life is following Jesus one day at a time. Christianity is not its core a set of practices or religious routines or even doctrines, but a relationship. Jesus is a good shepherd. We are to listen, to follow him, seeking to do his will as faithfully as we can should be our goal. He is the one who calls us into faith, and he is the one who will perfect our faith and bring our faith to completion and maturity. I think the author of Hebrews is saying, yes, there's going to be lots of confusing, unsettling, difficult, disappointing, sometimes challenging days as you run this race, as you seek to live out the Christian life. Even so, fix your eyes on Jesus. The one who got you started will help you make it to the end. Develop a resolve to keep your eyes fixed on him. And in doing so, look to his example of pressing on. Verse 2 continues. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author, perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I love that beginning phrase, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. I believe there is a difference between purposeful suffering and actually purposeless suffering. I think my journey, that I've met people that sometimes think that the kind of all suffering is good. And that I'm kind of, if I'm not suffering, I'm not kind of miserable for Jesus, then something must be wrong. But the reason Jesus submitted to the cross is he knew this was the Father's will. It was his ordained purpose, and it was for the redemption of the world. And the timing was perfect. Jesus escaped other attempts to persecute him, but at the right time, he submitted to the Father's will. When an Olympic athlete suffers in training, it's for the purpose of running or performing to the best of their physical ability, the hope of standing on the platform. It is for the joy set before them. Pete Scazzaro, who I've mentioned several times before, author of Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, teaches, and I have found this so personally helpful, that we must discern the difference between the true cost of finances and what can be false or oppressive expectations that can slip into our understanding of the Christian life that actually robs people of joy, peace, harms relationship, harms our witness. I think one of the things that we need to be alert to is guilt motivation or fear or inappropriate pressure tactics. These actually suck the life out of following Christ. It's a toxic faith, as some describe it. There is a cost in following Jesus, but the joy will outweigh the cost. Some of that joy we will taste now as we get to witness God's work in and through us. But there will be a greater joy ahead for all who faithfully press on, keeping their eyes fixed on him, doing His will, running the course He has set for you. Verse 3 adds and then concludes this section. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus Himself warned His disciples that His followers would face opposition, even persecution, and that sometimes that is the very real cost. No one likes or should like that reality. But the hard facts are that Christians in parts of our world today are being persecuted and martyred for their faith. I just read a prayer bulletin last night about the number of people being persecuted right now for their faith in Christ. It's a sobering reality. I am deeply humbled by that. I pray that if that day comes, that God will so enable me and you to remain true. Yet, we should be alert that even right now here in Canada, it seems increasingly challenging to share our faith. We need to encourage one another, help one another practice winsome, wise ways to share our faith. Maybe we need to share more stories and testimonies of faithful witness, encouraging one another all the time to press on. The emphasis of that verse is that we would not grow weary or lose heart. Not grow weary or lose heart. All of us will face times when we feel like throwing in the towel. The scriptures are crystal clear that we are in a spiritual battle, that we have an enemy that stands against His people, His church. These are not easy times. There is much at stake. So, don't stop now. Richview, don't stop now. Don't. I urge you today, become even more a people of prayer, a people devoted to the scriptures, a people who are compassionate and filled with grace, a people who with humility seek the unity of the Spirit and serve a needy world together, a people who proclaim clearly life and hope found in Jesus, a people who joyfully lead others to a growing relationship with Jesus. Richview, keep going. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Christ has the power we all need to persevere, to run the race, to live our faith journeys with passion and joy, to shine for Him in this world. The best days for Richview may yet be ahead. Worship Him. Follow Him. Serve Him. And God will be glorified in your midst. And one day, you will hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. So therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before Him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary or lose heart. Amen. Father God, thank you for this time together. And I pray your Spirit so works to encourage us as we face whatever challenges we might be facing individually in our families, as a church. It is often a struggle and hard. And we are encouraged to persevere, to run the race, to be cheered, to know that we are cheered on by countless people who have run the race before us. Bless this church. Bless this community of faith. May they be a shining example as they shine for you, as they keep their eyes fixed on you. Pour out your Spirit upon them in fresh and new ways. Guide and direct to the glory and honor of Jesus. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged in today's podcast. Check us out at richviewchurch.com, Facebook, or Twitter at Richview Toronto. But you know what? We're not an online church, so we hope that you'll come visit our church in person. We'd love to get to know you.